Spokane has massive rock formations scattered all throughout the region, and there's really no question as to why. I mean, Randall Carlson starts his tours here for a reason. It's the beginning of the channeled scab lands. When they first figured out it was a flood, they called it the Spokane Flood. And you can see that all throughout the area. I mean, the city itself, you'll find massive basalt formations with a hotel on top of it, or a business building on top of it, or just sitting right next to a high school. It's all over the place. If you don't look for them, you wouldn't even notice them. And some of the most scenic areas in Spokane are like this, where you have this mixture of rock and water, and it's something that's awe-inspiring to people today. And to the indigenous Americans, it was awe-inspiring to them thousands of years ago. There's a lot of myths about these areas, and we're going to talk about a couple of them today and some possible interpretations. The first one of those would be the story of Coyote Rocks, which that's what these are right here. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to Dunking. Long ago, in this region of Spokane, near what is now known as the Centennial Trail, right off of Plants Ferry Park, a monster lived in these mountains. She was said to be gigantic and cruel, and ate many people who used the river. Day after day, people were devoured when they came to the river to gather water or fish, and eventually it became so much of an issue that something had to be done. So the tribal elders got together, and they met with Bear, Wolf, Coyote, and several other animals. Now, as many of you are no doubt aware, Native American religion could be called shamanistic or animistic. It's basically very in tune with nature, and they don't consider themselves to be a separate entity from nature like most Western traditions do. They consider themselves to be part of it. So the idea of meeting with Coyote or Wolf or Bear isn't an outlandish thing. It isn't something out of the norm. A great example of this is a Spokane tribal story that the humans were lonely at night before we had crickets because nobody was there to sing to us. So that kind of idea, it permeates a lot of these stories. They spent a few days discussing how to handle this monster because she was so giant, but no ideas came to light and no one volunteered to take on the beast. So after several days of eating and discussing their options, Coyote finally spoke up and said that he would handle the creature himself. The others at the meeting thought about it and decided to let him try. Perhaps Coyote did have enough power to take on this monster. Now, Coyote is, in Spokane tribal tradition, Coyote is a trickster, but not like Loki from like Norse mythology. He's far more benign. Oftentimes good. Now, he is still a trickster, as we'll see in the next story that we talk about, but he's not like Loki where he's always trying to just be rotten. He's just mischievous, but he's frequently mischievous in a good way, as we'll see in this story. Coyote didn't grab some weapons or try to sneak up on the creature in its sleep. Instead, he climbed this mountain and taunted the beast. "Hey, ugly," Coyote yelled out to the monster, and she did not take very kindly to this insult and started to throw rocks at the coyote, as one does. But the difference is if we throw a rock at a coyote, it's like this. The rocks that she threw, well, they're these boulders that are in the river here. You can look at the rocks and imagine the size of the monster. She was almost unimaginably big, according to tradition. Well, Coyote, he was clever. He kept moving and kept running and kept talking crap and ran by the bank of the river. It was springtime, and the river was very high, full of water that had run down from the mountains. As the monster chased Coyote, she slipped and fell, hit her head on one of the boulders, and drowned in the powerful river waters. So Coyote celebrated by running up and down the river bank, dancing, yipping in celebration, and eventually returned to the group, announcing the demise of the beast and telling them they could go back to the river. Now, of course, this area is somewhat sacred to the Spokane tribe, but in 2001, some of the stones were removed from that to widen the Centennial Trail. Now, in 2021, some of the tribal members came back to this area that had a meeting and some ceremonies and basically retold the story, remembered the story, and they put it on YouTube. You should check it out when you're done watching this. The link is below. Not only did you get to see the story told by an Indigenous American who is a historian of the Spokane tribe, so he probably has a little bit better grasp on it than I do. But in addition to that, you know how I always like to talk about psychology and looking at things through somebody else's perspective? This is really interesting because this isn't the first or the last time that one of their sites is going to get like changed and trampled. But they still are they're chill about it, man. They're not holding the grudge you might think they would. They actually thank the Spokane people for helping them honor the story, even though the Spokane people were the one that widened the Centennial Trail. But basically, you see a lot of the same pragmatism that you see from a lot of the indigenous American tribes that are still doing well in this day and age when they have been pushed into a corner and have figured out a way to stand up and succeed still, they tend to have some really pragmatic views about things, and this was no exception. Make sure and check it out when you're done here. Now, the next story I want to tell you is about Bull and Pitcher State Park. You might remember me filming there before. It's a very interesting story because this one talks about Coyote once again stealing the night sun. Most people think that means the moon, from Antelope, but Antelope had stolen it from other people. And well, this story is actually recorded verbatim, apparently, in the indigenous language and then translated to English. So instead of just kind of giving you my version of it, I will go ahead and read it to you, and then we can discuss it. It was to the sundown place, the west there they are camped, a whole bunch of them. And then it was here they are caring for the night sun. They are being stingy with it. Here at another place are camped their different tribe. They thought they'd go steal it. Then they would again put it up in the sky. They would again have light at night. You know about them there. It was dark, dark, dark there in the night. But then the moon tenders already knew. They all knew it was going to be taken from them, their night sun, when in the dark of the night. Then the tenders were going to lie in wait for them, and then they would kill them all. So then two antelope were chosen because they were the fastest. Then no one is even going to come near them. Really, that's how it happened. They ran away with the sun. Sure enough, no one could come near them. Finally, again, they arrived at home. They leaned it up here, in the outdoors, this night sun, and they went in, these two antelope. As usual, Coyote heard about this. He ran over there, and sure enough, it was leaning outside there. Boy, he took it and ran. As usual, he didn't watch his step, and Coyote was heard by the two antelope, and right now began to chase Coyote. Just as they were going to grab him, with all his might, Coyote gave a push to the night sun. It rolled and fell there in the Spokane River. It lodged among the rocks, and there it is, still there to this day. It shimmers and shines deep in the water. Well, that's a pretty interesting story. I mean, you've got a group of people hiding the night sun and being stingy with it, another group of people that want to take it to use it, but they send antelope because they're afraid to get killed because the guys are lying in wait. So the antelope steal it, and then the coyote steals it from the antelope and throws it in the river. Now, these myths, like these stories, they beg to be interpreted, right? I mean, the one with all the rocks in the river, right? The first one, the idea of a giant throwing rocks down from that hill being a memory of an avalanche or a flood. Those of you who watch this channel religiously like I do, so you should too. You might think about this flood. And that might be what this is a memory of, right? Hell, it could have been like 12,000 years ago they killed a freaking cave bear there, or they were chasing one and it fell in the water, or if one was chasing them, it fell in the water. 101 different interpretations of this could be, right? And the other one's even more tantalizing to me because we were talking about the night sun. This is astronomical phenomena, right? So at that point, that could be a supernova or a comet or all kinds of different things that it could be, or it could just be a way to explain why the moon reflects so well at Bull and Pitcher State Park and why there's a bunch of big-ass rocks in the water. Now, it's tough to say, right? And I would never in a million years discourage anybody from the armchair musings. Hell, I do it all the time, and I absolutely will be doing it with these myths more and more as I dig more into them. But that's what I want to get into here because I will be talking to Spokane tribal members to get more information about this stuff, right? And when I'm talking to them, the tribal members that are closest with their history quite frequently maintain their old school religious beliefs. And at that point, I will go out on a limb and say the last thing they're going to want to hear is my personal interpretation of it. That's a great way for me to basically say, oh, nice story that you got there, Skippy, and pat them on the head. So if you are engaging in any kind of that speculative stuff and you ask for information from the horse's mouth, keep in mind that your interpretation might be the last thing that they really want to hear. And I'm not, again, not saying that you shouldn't do it, not saying you shouldn't engage in it. I'm saying that there are certain people out there, the people most likely to give you solid information about these old stories are the people also most likely to be offended as fuck if you get in their face and tell them what those stories actually mean. They know what they actually mean. They're their stories. So just remember to be a little bit respectful if you have that discussion with the individuals themselves. All right. Sorry, but this is kind of important to me. There's lines that we can't cross here, guys. I call me crazy. Anyway, I want to thank you all so much for watching this far. I really think that stories like these are really interesting, and it's my pleasure to actually bring these, a couple of them, out to the public, and knowing that they're going to get a little bit more oomph than they normally do when they're shared on social media. So that makes me smile. I feel privileged in order to be able to do that. I want to thank those of you who support the channel. I'm getting ready to go to Egypt this winter. I'm going to be speaking at the Cosmic Summit next summer. Things are going crazy lately. All kinds of more and more busyness. I've got links to support the channel down below. Before I go to Egypt, I kind of want to get a handful of better video equipment stuff, because I was pretty bummed when I went to Riverside State Park. I snuck in when it's dark, like I was Graham Hancock, and I was climbing the pyramids, and I was going to film the freaking light reflecting off of the water, but my best camera is a freaking cell phone. So, yeah, I didn't get shit. I got a black gray screen with some water noises in the background. Anyway, if you're inclined to help a guy out, there's buttons down below. I'm not going to beat that horse to death. Sorry. Thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate y'all's support, and I hope to see you next time. See those cool rocks? I want to shoot the intro, like, level to them, so I've got to go down there. You're welcome.